This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. All right, we are sort of in a new studio today. It's the same room in my house. What room is this in? Is this like a, what would you call this room? It's not a bedroom. Like an extra living room?
Kinda.
I don't even know what they call it. Like if they list a house, what they would call this. But so that's where this studio is set. It's not in an actual recording studio, but most of this extra living room. It's like an upstairs living room, right?
I guess so, yeah.
So we've had the table, like you can see on Instagram, but that is now gone. There is a much thinner dark wood table, but we have new mics, these things called processors.
Yeah.
Because what they want to do is a couple things. One, we want to make some of these podcast specials to be national radio shows. And to do that, we got to have equipment that makes it sound not just good for you guys, but good if they were to put it on radio stations all over America. And two, so I just want to wake up sometimes and roll up here and do commercials in my underwear.
Yeah.
From the radio show. And I can now do that, I think.
Yeah.
Do we think it sounds good enough?
Yeah, I think you can.
Like for the radio show, I walk in the morning and I have sometimes, you know, 50 or 60 commercials I have to read, which can be 30 or 40 minutes of just straight reading. And so instead of me having to wake up and do that before the show and then be a bit tired, I can wake up and do some on a Saturday, some at 4 p.m., some before a show before I even leave, or I can just do the show from here. How crazy will that be?
I know,
will
right?
never leave my house. But they spent 2.5 days building the studio in here.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And so if it sounds a little crisper, a little thicker.
A little bassier.
A little bass here.
A little more bass than that.
A little more bass here. If it sounds like my balls are dropped, it's because we have a new studio.
That's the process.
There's actually no new studio at all. My testicles have just fallen farther down. But we're working with a new studio, and which is why there hasn't been an episode in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't do one here while they were fixing it. But we're about to hit you with Kaylee Hammock, who I think is fantastic. I tell the story near the end because she just left. We had a fun moment too. She Ubered over, and she had a big road case with her because she leaves and literally goes to Detroit and does a show. But I carried her case out for her, and we talked outside for a little bit. And then she Ubered out of here. She just dropped her off, picked her up, just gone
away
again.
Away
she goes. We talked outside for a bit, which is always fun too because you just spend an hour with them, and people start to open up as it goes because the first part of in the podcast. You're just kind of feeling each other. It's like a boxing.
Yeah,
match.
Like the first 20 minutes is like, okay.
You're what are they going to give me? Or how am I going to get it? Or what's the speaking pattern like? You know, for me, I'm kind of having to kind of look at my opponent and go, what am I going to do here? That's what every podcast is. Even people that I really, really know well.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference. And I know Kaylee now. Kaylee, I know her okay. She's not somebody I don't know. So I know Kaylee, and she was all here all day yesterday. We were dancing to the get up. But, this is the first, I forgot my point, but that was the first podcast we've done with our new studio, our new setup. We have it set up so I can do the radio show from here too. And it should be good. And Dustin Lynch is set to come by next week.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. But I think you're really going to like Kaylee Hammock. She's the real deal, man, in many ways. And you're going to hear about that
throughout the podcast. So I'm glad you're here. Speaking of Real Deal Podcast, I'd like to just send you to one episode specifically, which is the Lainey Hayes episode of Caroline Hobby's Get Real Podcast. Boy, that's a good one, huh?
Yeah.
So what Caroline Hobby does, and I hope you search, even if you want to pause this podcast and go check it out, I encourage you to. What Caroline Hobby does is she does a show talking, for the most part, to the wives of country music stars. And sometimes she goes and she talks to Nicole Galyon, who isn't the wife of country music stars. She's just awesome. She's a woman. But mostly it's the wives of country stars. And she talked to Walker Hayes' wife. And she talks about some of the fun stuff. But she also talks about, you know, when they lost their baby. And, I mean, it goes up and down and all around. And it's a really strong, powerful podcast. And Caroline does a great job. It's called Get Real with Caroline Hobby. Of course, Amy has Four Things with Amy Brown. On this week's episode, her kids are her guests.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And her kids talk about what they're thankful for. I mean, that's a fine podcast too. I'm so proud of our little network here that we're growing. The guys have a podcast called The Sore Losers. If you're into sports, you know, they have one up like 4 days a week. So if you're into sports, you can check that out. Obviously, there's this one that you're listening to. What am I forgetting?
Kelly Henderson.
Oh, of course. I knew I was forgetting one. Kelly Henderson and the Velvet's Edge podcast, where one of the most, you know, she kind of dug into me a little bit when we did our episode. That's probably like 10 or 12 episodes back, but that's an interesting one if you want to hear that.
And Joy Williams is really good too.
That she did with Joy?
Yeah.
Yeah. She called him. She was like, I'm going to listen to your talk with Joy because I don't want to talk about what you talked about. And they talk about different things. If you like Joy Williams, I think you'll like that. Check out Velvet. There's a lot of these podcasts to check out. We're about to probably pull on. We talk about it every week. Is the other one coming, Mike?
It is coming.
Is because we're waiting. I'm waiting.
I've been waiting too.
It's a really good one.
Yeah.
We're just trying to like, I don't know if we have to close the deal. I don't know what was the paperwork?
That's what it was. Yep.
Is it done though?
It should be done today.
Oh
actually.
My God. How many more days? But so yes, very excited about a new podcast coming on the network. I hope you check it out. And this is about to be Kaylee Hammock. And let me encourage you to come watch The Raging Idiots on tour. That's Eddie and myself, our comedy and music show. And it's a musical. After we finished this podcast I did with Kaylee, I was showing her some of our numbers. They're not just songs, they're numbers. But I don't know where you listen. If you listen in Austin, the show is sold out. You can come to San Antonio, Denver, Chicago. We're going to be in El Paso, Amarillo. Come see us. All right. Without any further ado, this is Kaylee Hammock. I think that's all I need to say. Here we go. All right, welcome to episode 182 with Kaylee Hammock. You good?
I'm good.
We spent all day yesterday together, so yeah. I knew you'd find the house.
Yeah, I knew where it was.
we've just seen the first. We did the video for Blanco Brown, The Get Up. Mike, if you'll play me a little bit of that. And so, I know. So I reached out to you early last week. I was like, hey, let's do this on camera because it's going to be huge. It's already kind of starting to be a thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's going to be huge. And we have the resources to call and have guys come shoot this. We have the same management, same team. And so we had a couple cameras out here and Blanco came out and Lainey. So we just kind of had a thing over at the house yesterday. And so we shot it and like 5 minutes ago. I got the first edit of it back. And it's so fun. I did Dancing with the Stars and I got a little PTSD yesterday. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm dancing again.
Kickball change.
But you kind of know what you're doing.
Well, I feel like you probably know this, but yeah, I was extremely intimidated because I found out on Sunday and then they were like, hey, he wants to dance, you know, the dance. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't dance. Did he ask me because he wanted someone to look good beside?
No, I was like, I asked you because you were fun.
But then I went to the Gold's Gym yesterday or day before. And yeah, I asked him if I could use one of the aerobic rooms. So I got in there with my sneaks, stood in front of that mirror, put a Beyonce fan in front of me, and I just went wild.
Have you had no dance experience?
No.
Really?
Only like, I was kind of raised to be a debutante, so we had to learn how to foxtrot and waltz and things.
So
and I always loved
ballroom.
It. All I wanted to do was ballroom when I was younger. I loved it. I thought it was so eloquent. Elegant. I haven't had enough coffee yet. But yeah, I always wanted to do it.
It's 3 p.m. What do you mean you haven't had enough coffee?
I'm real bad about coffee.
When do you wake up?
Normally, I wake up about 7 or 8 every day, whether I want to or not. My body just wakes me up.
Yeah.
But today, we just kind of were running. I have to pack. And after this, I head to Detroit to play the one of the Hoedown festivals tomorrow.
So. I don't host it anymore, but I program a show, a national show on the weekend that's all female artists. And I put in your song, Just Friends. And I knew the song already from your music. Hey, Mike, if you pull up the whole track for a second, because it starts out and it's very slow.
Yeah.
And I'm in the car and it comes on and I'm like, and I'd forgotten what song it was. Then it starts to play and I was like, oh, this song is so good. And I'll get to Family Tree in a second, which is the single, right?
Yeah.
But this is how it starts. It sounds like an old traditional country song.
Yeah. So my thought was in my head, I'm on the Porter Wagoner show right now. You know, just singing, kind of nodding my head to country music. The music that kind of taught me how to speak with my heart, I feel like, in music. But I'm also a 90s baby, you know? Like, I grew up on all the alternative bands. I grew up on Weezer and Cake, and I wanted to be like them, so.
And right here's where it flipped.
Yeah, and then I got pissed off.
You know, and when it flipped, because it sounds like Hole. I don't know if you remember what Hole is. Like, Celebrity yeah. Skin. It doesn't sound like it melodically, but just the feeling of all those Courtney Love, this super strong, angry female.
Yeah.
And I love this song. Like I do. I love
Thank
this
you.
Song so much. Yeah, it's so good.
Someone the other day was like, so you're kind of a country risk taker, aren't you? And I was like, am I? Because I feel like I'm an 85-year-old woman inside that likes to garden in her spare time. But thank you for that. I'm so glad you see that as being a rebel.
Yeah, everybody check that out. Check out Just Friends. Yeah, I love this song. I have it on even my, I don't know how you save songs, but songs that I like, it then pops up on my list and I just play back whatever. But it's on one of my last 5 or 6 songs, like personally that I love. I love this song here.
Yeah.
Here we go. Just Friends. Yeah, it's a jam.
It's just fun to rock out on.
You play this with a full band?
Yes. Yeah. I love anything I can just bang my head to.
What song do you play with your ding, 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 ding? With
That's it, actually.
This is the one that you play?
I play Just Friends.
I didn't put that together.
Yeah, in a broken down acoustic set, I have a little Fisher-Price xylophone and play it.
I think that's why, because I've only ever seen you play this acoustic.
Yep.
Not with the big electric. Whenever we were talking last, you had mentioned to me, and I made a note of this. You said, because I wanted to bring this up. You came on my radio show and you said, get me drunk and the hillbilly comes out. I'll tell you what that means on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I felt bad because I was like, oh, you don't drink. It was just like a joke.
No.
I was like,
Drinking has nothing to do with anything.
I just, I've tried very hard to not lose myself or lose my roots. But also, I like to dictate myself. I sometimes find I get real excited or tipsy, and all of a sudden, all my words start slurring together. I got it from my grandmama.
But what's the hillbilly part of it?
I kind of become a little bit of a redneck. Like, there's a reason why I don't really drink a lot, because it's normally my idea of a good time is getting just tipsy enough that I just want to go dance, and usually it's by myself. And then as soon as I sober up from that, I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I want to go get a corn dog, and I want to go home. And that's like the perfect night. But yeah, just, I get a little redneck. I like my Southern rock. I like my old rock and roll and stuff. And I don't know. I'm a Joe Diffie girl, you know. The Sammy Kershaws of the world were kind of the music I seem to be drawn to a lot, especially when I'm drinking.
I was looking at your Insta story yesterday, and it said that you're single, a dog mom, and thriving.
Yeah.
Working towards giving your dog the backyard she deserves.
Yes. We have a pretty good backyard right now, but I'm just now kind of working towards, like a tour bus in which she would feel comfortable. Tarbra Streisand has to feel comfortable.
The dog's name, excuse me?
Tarbra Streisand.
Tarbra Streisand.
Yeah, we call her Tarbs for short because it's just too much, but she's a...
What's the Tarbra?
Yeah, so I was going to name her Barbara, but she's not a Barb, you know? And then I tried other letters and for some reason T just stuck. I was like, Tarbs. And then I was like, oh, we can do tartar beans, tartar sauce, you know, just all the little, I love to give her weird names. She answers to like 10 different names now, but she is definitely a studio sprite. She made the whole record with me. She was there for every little bit of it.
Yeah.
So now just getting to the point that we can get a tour bus. Now that we have the backyard, we kind of, maybe not the backyard she deserves, but a decent backyard. Now we just have to get her on the tour bus.
Here is a family tree. Kaylee.
My dog is in the video too.
Oh yeah?
Yep. Her glam probably took just as long as mine did.
I was giving you a second during that song so you could drink your coffee.
Oh, thanks.
You were holding in your mid-story. I was like, I'll play a clip. Let her have some more coffee there. So early on, one of your first, we'll call it a break, was a bit connected to Luke Bryan.
Yeah.
Ish. Tell that story.
So I'm from Ellaville, Georgia. It's a very small town in South Central Georgia area, close to Alabama line. And Luke Bryan is from Leesburg, Georgia. And
which is how far?
About 20, 30 minutes, I guess. But anyways, his mama, Miss LeClaire, used to work for the town hall, I believe. And my dad is a well driller. So he drills majority of the water wells in our part, our region of Georgia. And anyways, he was drilling one for the city of Leesburg and met Miss LeClaire. And I think that he started the conversation and just said, hey, like, you have a son that made it. I have a daughter that's trying real hard. I just wanted to see if you had any advice. And Miss LeClaire was like, get her to come see me. So my dad came home, I think I was 16, 17 years old, and told me I have to go see Miss LeClaire. So I put on my fanciest high heels because for some reason that made me feel way more adult. And I walked in into the town hall of city of Leesburg, and she's sitting there and she just looked up at me. And the only thing she said to me was, you're taller than I expected. And I was just like, hi, I'm Kaylee Hammack. I'm, you know, you're Luke Bryan's mom. This is the CD I was supposed to bring to you. It's a burnt CD that I wrote, like, in Sharpie, all the titles of these songs I'd written on. And anyway, she was like, well, let's go outside. I need to smoke a cigarette. So we leaned against the town hall, and she smoked a cigarette. We watched the peanut trucks pass by. And, yeah, that was really about it. Very short, very to the point,
you
know.
Did you sing for her?
No, I just gave her the CD because she had heard I played in that area a lot, and she was like, "I've heard of you, like I've heard of you playing, you know, but I've never seen you. So just give me the CD." And a few weeks later, it was on a day that there's probably like five times in my life I've actually been mad, like really mad, and that day was randomly a day that I just felt frustrated at the world. It takes a lot to irritate me, and I was irritated that day, and I remember I was pulling weeds at my mom and dad's house to just get out of the house, and someone called me from a Nashville number. I answered it, and he's like, hey, is this Kaylee? And I was like, yeah, and he goes, this is Luke. And I was like, look, I know 58 Lukes. I'm from South Georgia. What Luke are you? And he goes, Luke Bryan. And I was like, kill me now. Like, what? Kaylee, you start the conversation off with a country star, and, you know, and you're already being snickety. But anyways, so I went, oh, I'm sorry. I've had a long day. Why are you calling me? Like, you know, like, what is this for? And Miss LeClaire had given him my CD. And when she came up for the CMA Fest that year, she played it for him. And he's like, well, I need to talk to her. And he's like, I think you need to move to Nashville. And I said, well, Luke, I'm trying to do what you're doing, what you did. You went to Georgia Southern, you built a fan base. And then when you went to Nashville, they really heard you because you had your people behind you. I'm trying to build my fan base. And I said, I don't know if I'm ready to go yet. I don't feel like my heart's ready to go yet. And
how old were you at the time?
I had just turned 17, I think. But he was like, I don't know if you're really smart or really stupid to not listen to me, but I guess listen to your gut. I think you could do this. I think you need to move to Nashville. So I was like, okay. And we stopped talking. We ended the conversation, and then he called right back and he goes, I need to talk to your dad. So I had to go in and get my dad off eBay and be like, hey, Luke Bryan's on the phone for you. And he talked to him, and Luke was just like, Mr. Hammack, I just wanted to apologize because I just told your underage daughter that she needs to move 400 miles away from home. But I just said that because I think she could do it, and I think she needs to do it. And I'm so grateful for all the people that have told my parents, like, she can make it. She could really make it, because that encouragement and that support from my home base, you know, and my family, that meant the world to me, and just helped me kind of on this uphill battle. So Luke doing that, it really meant it meant a lot to me. And then when I was in between record deals and I was choosing, he called and he's like, isn't Universal great? Universal's a great place. And I was like, who put you up to this? But it was funny to actually get to talk to him again. It's a full circle.
Did you save his number after he called you the first time, just in case? Like, you push save and Luke and then...
Okay, I know a smart person probably would have. But Bobby, he told me to tell him when I got to town. And he's like, why didn't you tell me when you got to town? And my thought is like, no, like, when you need to hear of me, you will. I don't like asking people for favors. I don't like people thinking that I want something from them. So I just never reached out. I was like, when he needs to know who I am, he will. Like, he'll hear my name and go, I think that's that girl. So that may have really prolonged this journey, but it all happened the way it should. And I feel like it happened organically. So yeah, I do have his number now, though. And I have it saved in like all caps, Luke Bryan.
How long until at the end of that conversation until you packed up and moved to Nashville?
It was about 2 years. I just felt something in me that I had to prove myself in a small town before I went to the big town and tried to say, like, hey, look at me, like, listen to my songs. No, like, I needed to pay my dues. And I think you gotta start that at your hometown. You gotta make sure the people around you see something before you go and you try to get more attention in a bigger city. So
were you playing small bars, clubs around?
Yep.
All through Georgia, through Alabama? Like, where were you moving?
Yeah, mostly all around Georgia, Alabama, a little in Florida. Never got to Carolinas for some reason. I don't know why. But that was usually where I stayed. And I played the same places over and over and over again because I knew I could pull a big crowd. And they go, yeah, come in on Friday night. Like, yeah, we need a good selling night. So there was a few bars that I always hit up back home. And then, drive through the night to go to Montgomery to play a battle of the bands and lose and then have to drive my band back through the night to get back in town. There was a lot of moments that... helped make me and helped me kind of really appreciate when you show up to a place and like there's an on-site person showing you around backstage to everything and there's catering. Oh, God bless catering. You know, I'm used to playing places that I had to sell my own merch, had to get the merch there myself and then play a 4-hour set, find the bar manager before he gets too drunk to make sure that we settle and I can pay all my guys and then drive them back. So now it's just, I'm really grateful for all those times I've played and gigged around Georgia, especially because it makes all of this just kind of feel like a fairy tale.
So you're 19 and you decide, okay, I got to make the move.
Yeah.
By the way, why were you having such a bad day? Is it a boy thing?
I don't know. I just remember like when Luke calls, I automatically go, well, I know 58 Lukes. What Luke are you? And I was like, why did I say that? Where did that even come from, Sassy Kaylee? Like, gosh.
You move up. You're 19-ish.
Yep.
You moved to Nashville, and what kind of car are you in?
I have an 05 Land Rover.
Okay, so.
Ooh, it was a little beat up, but I just thought it was so fancy, and it was cheaper than a newer Honda, so.
Beat
I grabbed,
up, though? Like, how
it
many,
still
how,
looked
how many
good.
Years ago was that, though? It's not that old.
It looked really
how
good.
How long have you been
in town? It was, like, 7 years old when I got it, but the owner before me had kept it up, and I was like, this looks like a Stars car. That's why, like, my parents were like, you can either get an old, like, a newer, nicer car that's still used, or you can get this way older Land Rover. And I was like,
it looked cool.
Yeah, that no one else had. So that was why I was like, I want it. And thank God I got it because I could blow up an air mattress halfway and push it into the back. And it became my little apartment for a while.
Yeah, you
so
told
it helped.
You lived
helped
in your
out.
Car for a bit.
Yeah.
So, so you move here and. Did you go, I'm going to find a place to rent? I'm going to, like, what was the mindset? You're going to stay in the back of your car for a couple weeks, a few days?
No, I was going to stay in a motel. And I had told the boyfriend, the guy that I was dating at the time.
Here
in November,
back home.
Because okay. I had been commuting for a year, 18 to 19, I'd been commuting. I'd drive up every Sunday night, and then I would write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday if I could book it. And then I would drive back home so that I could spend the weekend with him and my family and be up there. Anyways, I'm a hopeless romantic, especially at the time. And I was like, it'll work. Love knows no bounds. So I was making that work, but it finally just got to the point. I was like, I have to go. Like, I've let one man tell me that he needed me so badly and then hurt me. I need to actually bet on the one thing that's never hurt me, and that was the dream versus love. And I was like, I need to go. And anyways, my boyfriend there was like, well, I'm not doing long distance. And I was like, okay, this sucks, but all right. So I moved up. It was December 1st, 2013. I was heartbroken. I didn't know anyone. And when I got to the motel, the sun was going down, and it was a $30 a night motel over in Antioch. And it was what I could afford. And it just wasn't where a young girl needs to stay by herself. It was just not good. It didn't seem safe. I don't know how else to say it. And I remember laying in that bed, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't stay here. So I got up in the middle of the night, got my dog, got my bag, and we just went and slept in the Target parking lot in Brentwood because I knew that there was a security guy that went all the way around at night, and I knew I wouldn't get messed with. And so I did that. And then
did you, like, give him a heads up? Hey, I'm going to be sleeping in my car, because it seems like the security guy.
No.
Because it seems like they'd kick you out of the parking lot if they knew you were sleeping there.
No one messed with me. Like, that was the thing of, like, praise God for Target. No one messed with me.
So you would, where would you shower?
I'd go back to the motel. So whenever I needed a shower, it was only for a few weeks. And then whenever I needed a shower, I'd just go back.
So you would stay in your car, and then occasionally you'd go and pay the nights.
Yeah.
Pay. And clean yourself up.
Yeah, it wasn't very glorious, not very fancy, but it got me in Nashville, and that was literally just all I wanted. I was if
parents?
I'm here, I can do this.
You're telling your parents you're living in the car?
No, I was staying in a motel, and it was nice, and they didn't need to know anything else because they're amazing human beings, and they worry, man. That's one of our love languages is worry, I think. When I love someone, I worry about them, and that's what they do, you know? Especially I'm the baby of the family, and I just got broken up with, moved 7 hours away, and I'm staying in a motel. Like, that was already bad enough, I felt like, for them to know. So I was staying in that car, and then my dad came up to visit me. There was a well drillers convention in Nashville, so I had to go back to the motel, and I just got another night.
You put pictures of yourself up, picture the family, all real quick, make it look like your place, yeah.
Vacuum a little, yeah. No, I'm kidding. So we're staying there, and I had the blow up mattress. I was like, oh, I'll sleep on here and you can sleep in the bed. And anyways, that night was the first time that we snuck into Honky Tonk Central. My dad, some of his friends were going to go there, and I was like, well, if I get there before 6, they won't ID me. And I had a fake ID that a girl I played basketball with in high school had ordered me one online that said I was from Pensacola, Florida, I think. And
something like the dark web. Like, where do you order?
Oh, man.
Fake IDs from on the internet.
I don't even know. This girl hooked me up, and I got two of them. So when the first one got caught, I had a purse stolen out of my car at like 17, 18. And of course, the police officers in my hometown found it. And they were like, so, ma'am, we found a lot of your stuff. Actually, a lot of it made it. But there's two IDs. And I was like, okay, I can explain.
No.
I can explain. Oh, yeah, that was a weird conversation. But in the back of my head, I was like, thank God they gave me two when I ordered these. But anyways, okay, sorry. Back to Nashville. Staying in my car. My dad came up. We went to Honky Tonk Central.
Which is a big Broadway bar for those. It's like a big Honky Tonk bar in the middle of like touristy Nashville.
Yeah, it's three floors. It's one of the louder ones. And so I went up to the main stage and I asked the bass player if I could sing. And he said $40 to sing with the band.
Wait, oh, really?
Yeah, because the thing is,
like
people come
like
up all
thing.
The time, yeah. And they're like, I can sing so good. Like, if you just give me the microphone, you know, and you're just like, because you're like, you're going to run off the other people if I let you up. But for $40, I'll let you up, and you can sing Britney Spears for 3 minutes. Come on, you know? It was another way for us to make money because we get tips there. We don't usually get a very big base pay. Base pay was like the bar would give you $25 for a 4-hour set and the rest is tips. So anyways, when he says that to me, I automatically was just like, what? And he's like, it's $40. Don't you want to do it? And I turned back around and I was like, look, I get paid to sing. I don't pay to sing anymore. Thanks. And I just turned around and walked off. And of course, as I turn around, I bump into this older man with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt on, a flannel shirt over that, a big white beard, and a beanie on. And he's like, well, where do you get paid to sing? And it was Greg Humphrey. He was the band manager down there for years. He used to play with Willie and Charlie Pride and all of them at the Palomino over in L.A. And anyways, he's just a wonderful bass player. He was a wonderful human being. And he was like, okay, like, where do you play? And I told him. And he turned around and he said to Jeb, like, Jeb, don't be a beep hole. I don't know if we can cuss on
you. You can say whatever you want.
Jeb, don't be an asshole. Like, let the girl sing. And I did. And I brought my harmonica with me. Like, I was ready, you know?
What'd you sing?
I think I started with Gunpowder and Lead. Then I did Copperhead Road. And I did the dance to it as well.
Wait, Miranda, Steve Earle, then over to Garth. You were showing your range there.
Well, what can get people dancing? That's what it is commercial music is whatever it takes for someone to take money out of their wallet and put it in that bucket in my hand. So I was like, okay, like, I'll just give you that. And then did like Mary Jane, our last dance with Mary Jane, and played the harmonica on it. And
they're like, holy crap.
Well, after that, I kept looking out there and Greg kept spinning his finger.
Like more?
And that's like, one more. Got to about 7 songs and then came down and he's like, you want a job? And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, well, be here tomorrow. So I did it the next day. He made me run the tip jug. And it was like a scene out of a movie, Bobby. He got the tip jug from me. It was the first time I'd ever had to ask someone for money, you know, and ask them, how much do you think my talent is worthy of?
Right.
Put it in this bucket. And he looked down in the bucket and he looked at me. And he looked down in the bucket again and shook it some. And he said, you sing good and you talk slow. People like that. You still need a job? And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, all right, be back at 11. And I was like, Humphrey, actually, I'm underage. Like, I'm 19. Do you think I can get in? And he goes, if you come in with me once, they'll never ask for your ID again. And I was like, okay. And they didn't. Like, I went back and forth. And when I finally turned 21 and they thought I was turning 25, that was when I finally told everyone.
That's funny.
But,
so, and that kind of became your place for a bit?
Yeah, it was where the creators and the singers and the musicians that needed to pay their bills but didn't know where else to do that, you know, doing what we do, that was where we all kind of thrived. It's where we kind of centered around each other. I worked downtown for 2.5 years, 4-hour sets, 3 to 4 times a week normally.
There's a lot of warnings you don't want to miss, like a sign saying, bridge ahead, or the lifeguard announcing, shark in the water. But in the digital world, there may be no warning when it comes to cyber threats. And that's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection includes Norton Security for more protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help detect threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security protects your devices from ransomware, emerging viruses, and other online threats. And if you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Of course, no one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But having LifeLock with Norton means we'll warn you about the threats that you could otherwise miss on your own. Join now and get 10% off your first year. Just call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BONES. That's promo code BONES for 10% off. Terms apply.
This is Otis Gray. And for this season of On the Job, we're hitting the road to tell amazing stories of real people and their life's work. From a young woman making dolls for an underserved market to folks falling in love at the office, each episode will surprise you.
I filled that application out, brought it the next day. I remember calling my sister, freaking out, being like, oh my God, Megan, you'll never guess what just happened.
Check it out by searching for On the Job from Express Employment Professionals in the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen.
It's funny because, you know, I'll go down to have a drink of coffee while I
Slurp.
Yeah, I'm giving you a second here to have some coffee while I tell a slow story. I'll go down to Broadway sometimes, and you see all the people that are playing, and it's a lot of kids, 19, 20, 21, 22, and you're going, a couple of these kids are going to come out of this and actually have your type story and be on a major stage. You go, look, this is kind of the path that I took, and I always go, man, it's always cool to see because there are a couple. Chris Jansen's one of them too.
I know. I saw him for the first time down there.
Yeah. And so did you ever see, though, I always wonder, were you ever playing and you, like an artist would come in or somebody that kind of famous would come in and you would go, oh man, or a record guy. And they weren't really looking. They just happened to be in that bar.
Oh man. Every now and then there'd be someone like a publisher or something
yeah.
that I knew. And I was like, oh my God, God, don't judge me. Like, I can write real sincere songs. All right, here's Redneck Woman one more time.
Oh, you were the opposite way. So you were like, oh, don't judge me. Instead of like, oh, I have a second to shine in front of these people.
Yeah, because the whole time, the reason I thought they would judge me was I wanted to be a songwriter. You know, it wasn't really about being the artist. It was about, I want to tell this story. And what I realized after signing at Universal Publishing was a lot of my songs, the things I say, no one wants to say that way, you know? So I knew that I had to be the artist to put it out, just to get those stories where I wanted them, and that was in the public. So I don't know. I would have rather been at a write around and just been me and a guitar and gone, okay, let me take you down a memory lane, you know, instead of like, here's one more song about drinking. Yee. And yeah.
Your accents are funny too. She has a different accent for every story.
Yeah. I don't.
Sometimes she's a leprechaun and she goes over. She's a pirate.
Well, you know, I've been wondering when you pick it up.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm assuming that's Irish.
I don't Scottish? Particularly know.
Yeah,
it's really it's bad like, once you point it out. I can't
Irish.
Do it anymore.
What's your living situation turn into? Because for a bit you're sleeping at Target, but then you get a job and you're actually able to make money. Do you find an apartment?
Yep. I found a little a sublet apartment that I leased. It was a basement apartment in Bellevue, and I killed every single house plant I ever bought because there wasn't enough sunlight.
It was basement house.
Yes. Yeah. But the thing is, actually looking back on it now, if there was one thing I could say to that girl, like, just enjoy it, because I cannot tell you the last time I just had a day off to myself with a good friend there and absolutely nothing to do, because there is a sense of freedom and this pureness of happiness there that you can find in that kind of dark basement apartment if you have a good friend with you. And I feel like now life is just so busy that you don't get time to really overthink. You don't get time to wonder anymore. You know, it's just go, go, go. I bet you're like that. But yeah, there's something about that little basement apartment, though it killed all my house plants. They had good moments. You know, we were poor, so we'd go to Sonic on Wednesdays. There was 50 cent corn dogs. We'd spend our nights off at McKay's, the used bookstore. And if I was lonely, I would just go up there on a Friday night. I went almost every single Friday night, and I would find a book that I wanted to read. And then I'd just sit down in an aisle and watch people. And, like, you can't imagine how many people come in to a used bookstore on a Friday night. And I'd start writing songs about them, or just basking in the company of knowing the world's still spinning around me, though I feel like I'm, you know, isolated in that basement apartment. But then I'd go to work, and I'd see a plethora of people and personalities. And then I'd go hide away in my little basement dungeon apartment and write songs about it.
It's funny you mentioned, because I think back to it when I was in college, living in this really rotten apartment, and how much fun that I had, because the whole world was still kind of in front of me.
Yeah.
When the whole world's still out there, even though you're super broke, you go, oh, eventually I'm going to figure this out. And there's a sense of, yeah, it's a struggle now, but I have so much space. I have so much. It's just such an empty canvas for me to create on over the years that it is fun. But I struggle with that. If I could just tell that person to just have fun, because I was having trouble getting lunch meat. It's hard to have fun whenever you can't really get bologna and cheese, and you just got to get bologna. So it's a weird mix. It's a weird mix of struggle. But when I look back, it was super pure. Like the amount of, man, I'm eventually going to figure this out, that was inside of me I was full of it.
Yeah.
And not like I'm full of crap now. But I just knew it was going to work. I know how it was going to work out. But if I didn't think it was going to work out, I wouldn't have stayed doing it. Like, if I ever thought, I'm not going to do it, I would have done something else. And I'm assuming that's the same with you. As much of a struggle as it was, you had to believe in yourself so much, because there's an ego involved in what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you create something and you go, I think what I'm doing is good enough that people will either pay for it or they'll sit through it and listen to an advertisement because I'm worth it on the other side of it. There is an ego, sometimes healthy, sometimes not. And with that being said, like, you had to be in this basement going, when I just get my shot, or when I take these couple more steps, like, people are going to love what I have to say. I mean, that was the thing, right?
Yeah, I had, I've realized for me, like, I get intense envy. And I used to think, do you know what your Enneagram is?
Yeah, 8.
8? Yeah, Defiant one?
I'm at 8.
Beauty and the Broken?
8.
Okay.
I'm at 8 and then a 1, whatever the second one is.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking 3 with a 4 wing.
No, but, I don't know. I'm 8. I've taken that test. Listen, I'm not a big believer. Sure.
It's okay. You don't have to believe.
I don't not believe.
I won't start talking about horoscopes.
No, you can. You can. I don't not believe. I just don't believe.
I get it.
Meaning, if you believe, I think that's awesome for you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to hate on you for it because there's no way I can prove you're wrong.
Well, I didn't really believe it until I read this book called Sacred Enneagram, and it goes in depth like with the numbers. And all it did was it showed a little clarity for me, and I got something out of it. But it talked about how the 4, the individualist, my number, it said that my weakness was envy. And I was like, no, I don't really, like, I don't get envious of, I'm single as they come, but I don't get envious of relationships. I'm not the skinny, tan beauty, you know, I was like, but I don't get envious of that. Like, there's moments and I was like, I don't get envious of other people in their situations. But then I went to an Eric Church concert. And I was sick the entire time, just sick to my stomach, watching someone else do what I wanted to do so badly. And I wasn't able to. So for years, I am finally to the point now that I can watch music documentaries. So now it's like all I watch because I couldn't for years watch that and listen to artists and musicians and writers talk about how they crafted their skill and stuff because I felt so unworthy of even knowing anything about it. And I felt so small and I was envious of they're really doing it. You know, they're getting to create something, put it out into the world. And now I can finally go to a concert and enjoy myself because I get to be on a stage and I have that. I literally have that little soapbox to put my word out on. And for a while, though, yeah, it was very envious of anyone living their dream because I was dark. I didn't have anything to kind of fill that void. I was still trying to figure out who I was, and I had to go through that.
It's funny how we look at other people, and they give us different inspirations. By other people, I don't mean individual people give us different feelings, but for you, you mentioned envy. For me, it's competition. Like, I see people, and I go, oh, well, they had it easier than I did, and I'm about to be better than they are. And I think a lot of it's how I grew up, and I was always the small, poor kid who got picked on. So everything in life was a competition to me. I had to prove myself all the time.
You feel that you have to prove yourself.
And unhealthily, too. Like,
I know. I get it. I totally get it. I feel little snippets of that.
I'm not proud of it. So that's not me going, this is, but, you know, I think a lot of how we were wired ends up being on how we treat ourselves and treat others, you know, later in life. And I wonder where that comes from with you, where you see the people and you're just so, you're like, because for me, it's not healthy sometimes where I'm just like, oh, okay, you think you're good? I'm about to be the best radio personality in the history of the world, and give me a minute.
Yeah.
And never, I'm jealous of where you are, but it's about to be, I'm about to beat you at where you are. I'm telling you, for the first 10 years of my career, and I started when I was 17, every show I was up against, I hated them. Didn't even meet them. Hated their guts. It didn't matter if the Pope was on 101.3, Pope FM, starring the Pope. I was like, I hate him.
Pope's going to be dope on air. Like, I must come on.
Now it's different. Now I have a platform where there really isn't anyone who is based on who I'm talking to, a contemporary. So I'm not really competing with people now. And now I'm competing with YouTube. I'm competing with just the world. You're just trying to get anybody's attention. It's impossible to get anyone's attention anymore because there are so many things. But for me, that's where mine comes from. Where do you think yours comes from?
I don't really know. I think it's because As a kid, I had 2 older siblings that we had already kind of moved on and went to high school or college by the time I came about. My mom had went back to school and my dad just worked really hard. So I had a lot of time to myself. I was alone a lot, I felt like. But I feel like that's exactly what made me. And it's where my imagination came from. You know, I had to be alone. I had to be lonely and bored for my brain to create what it needed to create. So that I can create what I create now. But there was moments of like, I just remember like watching like Stevie Nicks, there'd be a rerun of her in some concert with Fleetwood Mac. And I'd just be like, God, I just want that. I just want that. I would watch one of the first things I ever bought. Did you ever buy anything from the TV in your life? Like that you call in and it's like 3 orders of $24.95 shipping and handling.
That's a funny impression. Amy, my
friend, my co-host, did all the time. I never bought, I take that back. I bought the ab shocker once.
Where you, I had that too.
And it shocked the piss out of you.
It was like a torture. Yeah, like
you put it on, apparently it shocks a six pack. I gotta tell you, the only thing I had were little burn marks on it.
You turned it up to 10.
I was gonna say no and be Mr. Cool Guy.
Don't ever be cool with me, Bobby.
I really was just feeling like I hadn't. And I was like, no, of course, why would I buy it? I'm smarter. But then I go, you know what? I bought the absolute lamest thing you could buy. The ab shocker.
I had it too.
Yeah.
No shame here.
What else did you buy?
Mine was, I think I was like 12 years old. And it was this disc collection. It was like, I still have the tin and everything, but it was the golden classics of country music.
Oh, that was really one of the, where the titles go down?
Yes, yeah. And that was literally all I wanted was to be in that little title track of like, and I didn't want to be just in the title track that's going down. I want to be the one that's highlighted. And then they're going to have the karaoke words with a little bouncy ball. And it's going to be a like a picture of me on Porter Wagner's show. That was what I wanted. I would just sit there and listen to that over and over and over again. It'd be like a 10-minute info commercial. And be like, Mom, can I please get it, please? And she's like, we don't buy things off the TV. I'm like, okay. And finally, after I complained enough and begged enough, my dad was like, just buy her the freaking CD set. Just do it. And we did, and I just wore it out. Old country, classic country was like all I listened to when I was a kid, it felt like. But yeah, I wanted that. I wanted to be Loretta Lynn. I wanted to be Patsy Cline.
What were your parents musically?
My mom, she introduced me to Jim Croce. And
by the way, like Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Like Jim,
operator,
like 70s.
Could you help me place this call?
70s soul country almost is what Jim Croce, for people who don't know who Jim Croce is. Mike, you could probably play a little Jim Croce. You can keep talking. I just want to make sure that people kind of follow. Because I love Jim Croce. Message in a Bottle. Time in a Bottle.
Yeah, this is one of my two all-time favorite songs. He was able to tell a story with just a guitar in his voice.
Living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend, Ray.
Right here.
The guy, she said she knew well and sometimes hated.
Like, I feel like he was one of those in-depth lyricists that you'd listen over and over and then you'd pick up some little way that he'd say something and you're like, that's what he meant by it. He was one of those that I could dive into and listen to over and over and over again and get something just a little different or a little humor, like some tongue-in-cheek in there. I discovered something.
So nuanced that you'd always hear a little other... Because I also listen to a lot of Jim... My mom is a big Jim Croce fan. And she was the fun... I wrote in my first book, whenever my mom died, I was at her funeral. I was speaking at her funeral and I was struggling with talking. I had to talk at my mom's funeral. She died in her 40s. And so... But I remember as I was talking and I was crying my face off, somebody's cell phone rings and it's a freaking Jim Croce ringtone.
That was her smiling at
you. I don't know what it was, but yeah.
That's what I see.
and this came on. And so I think about this. Bam, bam, Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole damn town. Badder than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog. Yeah. Awesome, huh? Yeah, I love Jim Croce.
He was one of those, like, who else can write about a fight, a bar fight, and it's 3 minutes of, like, this in-depth story where I'm just sitting there like, okay, well, what happened to him? You know, like, there's one line that he says, he came up from the ground looking like a jigsaw puzzle with a couple pieces gone. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. His way of describing things was beautiful. My mom loved James Taylor. She loves anything like the Coffee House channel now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of her vibe. She loves songwriters and storytellers.
It's kind of my vibe, too. If I have to pick a vibe, that's probably my vibe, too.
It's just mellow and nice, easygoing.
I like sad songs. I guess it's probably, I really like sad.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Do you feel like to bring yourself to catharsis, or what do you get out of it, you know?
I don't feel happiness often, but I can feel sadness.
You like the feeling of it then?
I like to feel anything.
Dude,
it doesn't matter. I just like to feel something because I struggle with that. And I don't do well with happiness because I feel like it's always going to go away. It's so fleeting that it's gone. So yeah. I don't feel there's a vulnerability in feeling happy that I don't do well with. Sadness. Okay.
It's like a warm blanket.
Yeah, I've had it my whole life.
I totally get it. I seem to kind of be drawn towards the melancholy side of life. Don't know why, but that's where I felt good. And I realized the older I got that I either want to be up or I want to be down. I hate the middle, you know? There's actually a girl I went to high school with that she was one of those people that every single day she felt the exact same. Like whether she was happy, whether she was sad, whether her boyfriend broke up, whether she was the exact same person every single day. And I am the opposite. I'm normally like a little chipmunk on crack most days. And then when I'm sad, it's like, you may not be able to get me out of the house. And it's like a few days a year that it's like that bad. And I just have to respect myself and let myself kind of just dive into my pity party, you know, and I'm fine the next day normally. And, what I kind of realized, because I always wondered, like, how was Lindsay so happy? Why was she so happy? Like, just always so mellow, you know? And I was almost envious of that because I couldn't feel that just a normal. Like, it was either I was super, super happy or I was really, really sad. And I feel like a lot of creative people are this way. But there was a seesaw in our backyard that finally, I remember one day sitting out in the backyard and looking at it, and I realized kind of what it was. It was like, if we were standing on that seesaw, Lindsay was somewhere in the middle. So the up and down wasn't really much. And I am some little overweight 10-year-old flinging her body on the farthest reaches of it, you know? So I was either like just rocketed into the sky emotionally, or I was flat on my butt in the dirt. And I think the minute I kind of learned how to embrace that and just, I don't know, be okay with that. Be okay with crying and being ecstatically happy too.
And also the realization that that's what you are.
Yeah.
And I know, and I've done a lot of work on myself, and I say, I far fewer times am I sitting in my room listening to If I Could Only Fly from Merle Haggard. I do still some. In REM, Everybody Hurts. Like those are the ones.
Oh, that one's such a good lay down and cry song.
That's the
act like you're in a movie. Yeah.
It's far fewer, but I know that that's where I go. And I was talking to a friend pretty recently, and she's a comedian, and she's editing her special. She's with the editor. She just did a Netflix special. And she was like, I know that I'm going to break down 4 or 5 times. I'm going to hate myself as I'm breaking down every single time. And I'm like, well, if you know that you're going to break down 4 or 5 times, why don't you give yourself 4 or 5 coupons to break down and know that as you're doing it each time, this is you and you're okay with you. And this is the expectation you have of yourself. Now, if there's 9 times, there's something that's a bit wrong and you kind of need to address that. But if you can actually understand how you react to situations, you can prepare better.
Yeah.
And with me, I have to do that a lot. And I've gotten to be a bit happier.
It's kind of because you're loving on yourself more by allowing yourself to be you.
I do. I finally understand what loving yourself means for the first time, too. Because I used to think when people say they would, like when dudes,
I got to learn to love myself, man. And like, I'm like myself, you're just trying to break up with me. I know what this means.
Now, what it means to me is sometimes if there's somebody in your life that you love, like you're close to them as a friend or even romantic or a family member, that if you love them, you have to sometimes make hard decisions for them, even if it's not fun. But you have to do that for yourself sometimes too. Like to love yourself means to make good decisions for yourself, even if it's like I love to eat lots of candy and sweets and desserts. But that's not, sometimes I have to love myself enough to go, yo, chill, or yep. to get enough sleep. Because I will go days just cause with my schedule. I will go days.
I don't know when you sleep because I struggle to get enough sleep and I'm doing like a fifth of what you do.
And you're not doing a fifth of what I do. And that's nice of you to say. We're all working hard, but I have to make myself.
I don't have like 15 shows I have to go appear on.
I'm not that talented enough to have one job. I don't get to be such a good anything. You know that but I do feel like me loving myself is going, all right, you know, you want to keep writing tonight for this next book or whatever, but you have to actually love and respect yourself enough to get some sleep.
Yeah.
And I finally started to understand I do love myself a little bit more now. And I think it's healthier for me. And it's interesting that you bring that up and that you say that. Are you doing that with you? Like, are you?
Oh, yeah. Sleep is something I feel like as a vocalist, you got to get 8 or 9 hours. Like, just for my voice to be where I want it to be. Because I hate, a big pet peeve of mine is I don't like half-assing. When someone gets on stage and like, ooh, I got to pull off of this note. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But I know that we have to play so much. Sometimes you have to. And you have to work off 2 hours of sleep, you know. But I try to just, keep myself in check. Like, keep my mental and physical health in check. Because I have to be sparkly a lot, you know. You have to be sparkly a lot.
The most exhausting thing about what I do is what you call be sparkly.
Yeah.
Is I got to be on all the time.
It takes so much more energy, I think, than people know. And it's not that we don't enjoy it. Like, I love when I'm able to make connections and I can go to bed knowing that I made someone smile today. Like, sometimes that is what I need. I struggle with darkness in my life. And that is something that I cling to, is to know that I have helped someone or done good by someone. Even if it's just someone singing along to one song, you know, and smiling in the crowd. But it's really tiring. I have become a nap master. I feel like I can nap anywhere.
I'm so jealous.
If I have my Bose headphones on and I have my neck pillow and a little blanket, I can just post up anywhere in the corner and just knock out for 20 minutes.
Yeah, good for you, because I can't and I need it. You know, you talk about your term is sparkly.
What's
a good term? Well, being on. Because my thing is, I'm not an outgoing person. I'm just not. That's not in me. That being said, I'll go on stage and do stand-up for an hour. I'll do a 5-hour radio show. I'll go up and do comedy music. I have jobs where I'm super on.
Yeah.
And then when I'm not, I'm so off that people will see me sometimes. And if I'm not like, they're like, oh, what a dick. And so that being, and listen, my stepdad, my mom remarried once I was like 13 or 14. My stepdad worked at the mill. So I'm not comparing my job to his, but I'm saying for what I do, I have to stay on all the time, because if I don't, I don't want people to think I'm a dick. I'm not a dick. But if I'm at the airport and I got my head down and I'm tired or I don't know or I'm not feeling well, I get on Instagram, come on, we listen to your show every morning and you're going to be a dick to us. And I'm like, I didn't even see you. You didn't say hi.
I know. It's one of those things now. I just put my headphones on and I'm just like, shoo. Like, I just kind of revert into myself like a little hermit.
You're such a bold like physical presence though. Like you with your big red hair, like you can't walk by and people not go,
I know. Which is amazing. And I'm so grateful when someone recognizes me. Like it's a rare thing for me, Bobby. But the thing is, like, I still sometimes, like, when I have no makeup on, I look, I'm either Kaylee Hammock or a raccoon with the dark circles underneath my eyes. And it's a 5 a.m. flight, you know, to Detroit or something. And I'm like, okay, I can totally talk to you. Just please don't ask for a picture because I really don't want this on Instagram.
You know, what's funny about that is where was I recently? Where people, and I when you come up to me, the only time I say don't approach people is if they're, what they're eating. If they're eating, don't go to people. If they're the kids. Yeah. Otherwise, we signed up. We love what we do.
Yeah, come we up signed and say up for hello. It.
Like, I wouldn't be able to have, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast if weren't people listening. But some people now will just walk up, and I forget where I was.
Was at the airport here.
Was it? Did you see? They don't even ask me for pictures. They just come up and just start snapping. And I'm like, at least let me smile.
I know. Because
I know you're going to post it. At least let me, like, take the sleep out of my eyes and let me smile. I'll take any picture you ever want.
I think it's so funny when people are so kind, you know, but, like someone will come up to me and be like, you're so pretty. And I'm like, trust me, like right now with all my makeup on and me smiling directly at the camera. But it's so funny when people go to take like a burst and it's me talking in between. I look like a cartoon character the way my face moves. I'm like, I look so stupid.
You do a bit look like a country Jessica Rabbit. I was trying to you hadn't heard that before because your hair is so red. Is the red all like how redder do you make it?
Oh, I love to make it real red.
Yeah.
I like to go the Ziggy look. I love Ziggy. David Bowie, so it kind of just gives me like, I don't know, it's kind of like a little self-confidence boost. I can't talk. Maybe I've drank too much coffee. Now my tongue's moving faster than my brain is.
It's funny to hear you talk about a lot of these older artists because I was listening to a lot of classic rock when I was a kid too, and I have a lot of music that I love that was before when I was born, right? And mm-hmm. you're bringing up all these artists too. And some, Mike, who was in recently, we were talking about old music.
Abby yeah.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because so, she talked about old artists and coconut oil, and I was like, preach, girl, preach.
I think part of where we come from, being the South, that there's so many classic rock radio stations and classic country stations that we grow up, and that's just more of a part of us than in other parts of the United States even. Like, I knew every CCR song. That you could buy. Like, I loved Creedence. I loved all these. I loved Zeppelin. I loved David Bowie. I loved Jim Croce. All this stuff was because of all the classic rock radio that was everywhere. There were like 3 classic rock stations in Little Rock and Hot Springs.
Yeah.
And so, and it's funny whenever you guys, because Abby grew up in Texas and you grew up in Georgia. And I think that's a big part of why we have all these years and years of musical influence. Also, because where we grew up, we weren't the most technologically advanced either.
It was burnt CDs passed down for me, and cassettes even.
And even pause, play, record cassettes.
Yeah.
Where you would tape off the radio.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait until you have to wait for
and
it.
Please God, don't let the DJ talk over the front of the song, because then I got to listen to that every time I want to hear "Baby Got Back." You know that would happen. So yeah, it's funny to hear you talk. Let's do this then. And this is not, you're not married to this, but if you were gonna have a Mount Rushmore of your 5 favorite artists.
Ooh, wow.
Of all time. And I can go, I'll do it along with you so it gives you time to think. So, because I haven't done the Mount Rushmore either. But 5 favorite artists. And if you pick a band, that's fine. The lead singer of the band just goes up and represents the whole band.
Okay, so this is a Mount Rushmore for just me personally, or do I have to pick it for life?
No, just you. It's only you, your heart, your life, you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The Mount Rushmore of my heart, Bowie would be Washington.
Okay, you don't have to insert them for anybody. You can just pick 5.
What if I want to?
Because I'm not going to insert them, because I'm just going to put them up and have no comparison.
See, I feel like Tom Waits would probably be the Roosevelt, the little tiny head looking over their shoulder.
I love Tom Waits.
Tom Waits, I'm obsessed with him.
I would listen to Tom Waits and take, that would be my nap artist, because it's just Tom Waits. He just was.
Wait, what record? Because some of them is like, bam, 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 bam. Like, it comes in really aggressive. I don't think I can nap through that.
Well, it definitely wasn't the Waits harder stuff. It was the Waits, the more. Mike, will you play some Tom Waits?
Yeah.
No one's ever mentioned Tom Waits.
Play like Lullaby or something.
But I would nap in college.
Or Clap Hands. or a jockey full of bourbon. What's your favorite like Waits record?
Look at you over here knowing Tom Waits. No one.
I love Tom Waits.
Are you like 100 years old?
So my dad told me that I was 35 when I was born, and I've aged progressively ever since. But
it's like an odd Benjamin Buttons. Okay, hold on, let's go one at a time. Your first one on, okay, and I'll go after you. Go pick
Bowie.
One. David Bowie. Okay.
Waits.
Hold on, one at a time.
Oh, okay, Kayla. I'm sorry.
You don't follow rules, okay?
I'm a rule breaker.
Oh. Okay, we'll talk over this.
Ah, this is nice to talk over. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our sensual reading of our podcast.
Welcome to NPR. It's David and Bobby here. Today we're going to talk about the organic bee issue of South Central Alabama.
And Nora Roberts' newest hit book. I don't know why, but that's what made me think of that voice.
Okay, who'd you put on first, David Bowie?
David Bowie.
Okay, I'm gonna put on John Mayer. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. All right. Waits.
I'll put on Garth.
Oh, Loretta.
I'm gonna put on Ben Folds.
Johnny Cash.
It's tough. We got a lot of influences here. I'm gonna put on. Pound for pound, I'm probably going to put on Willie. You got one more.
I know. I thought about saying Frank Zappa to be funny, but I was like, I actually enjoy him.
I was going to say Ben Harper on the last one. I didn't.
I always have to steal my kiss from you.
Yeah, Dennis and Criminals.
I love that song. That was on a burnt CD my sister handed down to me.
You
okay,
got one more.
I think my last one got to be Cake.
Wow, good pick.
I like Cake.
I'm going to put Weezer on.
I almost did it, but I was like, nah, I'm a bigger Cake fan, I think.
Weird that you would know Cake. I love Cake. I want to watch it.
Their musical interpretation of everything ever
What's your favorite Cake song? Do you have every Cake song? That's a tough one to say.
Oh, my God. No. Going the distance. The distance.
Yeah, I used to run to that. And it's... At the starting line. Yeah, there you go.
Engines thumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up.
Oh, damn.
Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup.
Big death, we maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank.
So the reason I love these guys is their sound is just so unique. Mm. I mean, who else sounds like them?
Yeah, nobody. I haven't heard the song in forever. I turned it up.
Except for one. This
and Comfort Eagle. That was another one I really loved.
And all their covers look the same. It's a different color and a different shape. Yep. On the front of all the records. All right. They can turn it up. We have to at least get some chords.
He's still burning. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone.
And then
it's a great song.
Like their song that kind of put them out was never there. Like that was their big pop hit. It was the boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need your arms around me.
I need to feel your touch. Bow,
bow, bow, bow. Also the bass riffs. I'm a secret like bass lover. I got my little Bronco bass at my house that I never play bass in front of people, but I love to just just make up little riffs, and then all I got to do is get four bars of it, throw it onto Logic, and then the next ride I go into, I'm like, okay, here's this. Like, it's just fun. But if someone handed me a bass and was like, go ahead and play it, I would just completely fall apart. It's one of those, like...
If they did in that accent, I'd be like, where are you from?
I don't know why I do these things.
What region of Turkey are you from with that accent, and what's in this bass?
I don't know why my voice does the things it does.
This was the jam.
You're never, ever, 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 ever there.
They're coming on this one, too.
Hey. That's something, actually. And you know what? This may not work, but this is a big dream of mine.
Go ahead.
One day, whenever I have a headlining tour, I want to bring bands. I don't care what I got to pay them.
It's fun to say right now, but let me tell you.
I know, but I know how much opening acts get, and I'm like, they would never do it, and I would pay them something just to have a big show. Like, I want Cake to play with me. I want Everclear to play with me. I want Weezer to play with me. And if they would be willing to do it.
Are you like talking about my favorite bands on purpose? Did you study Bobby's favorite music?
No, I didn't study you. I want them to play with me.
I went
because they kind of raised me, you know. And I'm like, how cool would it be to go, these are the people that make me who I am. Please enjoy them. Thank you.
Whenever it was like 3 weeks ago. Oh, this is gonna be a good one because I can actually turn it into a story about you. But about 3 weeks ago, I go to City Winery because Art Alexis of Everclear was playing, and he was playing with the lead singer of Eve Six, and the lead singer of Fountains of Wayne, and the lead singer of Marcy Playground.
What was this for?
No, that was their tour. It was these four lead singers.
What?
And they would each go up and play. And Art Alexis, because I was a big Everclear fan, and they each did 20 to 30 minutes. And Art Alexis goes on. And I had seen him with his full band, Everclear, before a few times. And it wasn't that great because he was trying to sing over the band. It was fantastic when he's by himself because he could.
I've heard his acoustic stuff was better.
His acoustic, it is, because he can sing quieter. And my favorite Everclear song is Strawberry. And I was like, oh, I don't know if he's gonna play Strawberry, because it wasn't one of their bigger hits.
Yeah.
And he goes on and he freaking plays Strawberry. And I was like, well, this is fantastic. And he's telling these stories. It's like a songwriter round, but with these big 90s alternative guys. And he was like, and Art Alexis, he has MS. I had no idea.
I didn't know that either.
And he may be 60 years old now or close to it, but here's the story here. And you can play a Strawberry from Everclear, Mike D, if you have it over there. It was the same stage that I first saw you play at City Winery, because
it's meant to be.
I know.
I'm kidding.
I was only told that your manager, who I just love so much, Mary Hilliard. If you're listening to this, you probably are. I just love her.
She's probably listening to make sure I don't talk about like anything bad.
Listen, I just, and I trust. She's one of the few people that I will, if she says, hey, this person, because sometimes it'll be people she's not involved in it. She'll go, hey, this person's good. Listen to them. And I only have a couple people in my life that I'll trust and go. And she was like, I got this girl. She was like, she's real good. And this is before you had anything out. It was way before you had anything out.
Yeah.
Or before you were started to be whispered about. She was like, man, she's going to be so good. Like, she's already good. And I was like, okay, I believe you. And when there's an appropriate time, I'm going to go watch. You had nothing out. And I go to the Girls of Nashville show because I'm friends with Caitlin and Heather Morgan.
Oh, God, I love them.
Yeah. And so I think I have some Caitlin lyrics where she wrote. And didn't you have a thing? So I'm just big fans of them. And you were playing too. And I'd forgotten, and I was sitting with Mary Hilliard, and I'd forgotten initially upon going and saying, telling Heather I was going to come, that you were playing. And I was like, oh, well, let's just see what this girl's about. Come on. Here she is. And you went up and you crushed it.
Yeah, but, oh, God, I didn't know you were going to be there.
Well, I don't.
Because I sang my pop stuff.
Yeah, but
I never get to play
but
it.
But I don't announce that. Here cometh for Bobbyeth. It's not. I just go and try to chill and just sit with
thy
friends.
Thy presence is required.
So, but it was so good. And I after you played, I left. And I was like, well, good enough for me. Like, that was awesome. Like, I'm a fan. And I watched it. And then when I was picking my class of 2019, which just means, you know, ways of supporting other than just like, because I can't play songs all day on the radio, but I can do things like put you on my morning show, put you on the podcast. I can play your songs on the female show, songs that aren't your single. You know, like when I was talking about just friends, there are different ways. We have a show in town. I can tweet about you. I can, like, the video that we did here.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of ways that I feel like I can help out with exposure. And before you ever had a song out, I was like, I'm going to put you in. You're the first person I've ever done that with who didn't have a song out. And I was like, I'm going to put you in the class, because I've done it for 5 or 6 years now. And so I was such a big fan. And smash cut, yesterday we're dancing outside of my backyard. Together.
Sweating our faces off.
To this song right here. Yeah.
Okay, low-key, my legs are sore today.
Are they?
Yeah.
I ride the bike so much. My legs are pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're just like squatting the whole time, I feel like. And I'm like, damn, Bobby, I got to get down there too or it looks bad.
But you have more fluid in you. Like, my struggle the whole time on the dance show was it took me 2 or 3 days to even feel comfortable enough to really try. And so I'd practice all the moves in the hotel because I've been in New York all week until, like, I literally just got in whenever, you know, Blanco and you and everybody's in the backyard. And I was like, all right, I can do this. And so, but it took me 4 or 5 times to even feel comfortable to try. And you're over here just grinding it out. And I'm like, I wish I just had Kaylee's confidence.
Well, I knew I was going to look stupid. So I was like, you just have to own it. You know what I mean? Like, if Bill Murray walked around and did all the things he did, and then he's like, oh, I'm so sorry I did that, it wouldn't be funny or, like, cool. But he just does all these weirdly awkward things so confidently.
Have you seen the Bill Murray documentary on
No,
Netflix?
I haven't.
Oh, you'd love it. I forget what it's called. You know what it's called?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
No, you haven't seen it?
No.
It's about all this weird things he does and people.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix.
Ah.
And so it's a documentary this guy made. He's trying to find him because you can't find Bill Murray.
Yeah, he has one phone.
And he's always had it.
And he sometimes doesn't answer. you have to leave a voicemail.
It's an 800 number. And even big directors, everyone can only call that phone. I think it's called Finding Bill Murray or something.
The Bill Murray Stories.
Oh, my gosh.
You should
watch it.
It's so...
I may go get that for my flight tonight.
Why? You going to watch it on your phone? Can you watch shows on your phone?
Yeah.
Look at you.
You don't?
I can't see.
I'm so bad about, I'll just pull my phone into bed and just curl up and just watch it like right here.
Yeah, on my phone. A lot of my friends will watch The Office on their phone and I'm like, I'm so jealous. I can't see crap. And I was watching our dance video because the guy who shot it did a great job.
Corey's the bomb.
Yeah, and I had to take it off my phone and put it on my computer because I just have never had good vision. I live with it.
Well, I used to be that person that was like, I have 20/15 vision. I have extremely good vision. And now it's like, I'll start reading. I love reading, but it's like the words are getting smaller every year that passes.
I
finally have reading glasses and I have to have them sometimes.
You do talk about your vision in an 1800 pilgrim's voice though. So I like that. That's a good one.
I didn't even put it together. Dang it.
Listen, we've been here an hour. We've done an hour.
Yeah.
I don't even look at the clock till right now. We've done an hour. This is the longest interview you've ever done at 1 hour on the nose? Or have you done longer?
Yeah. I guess so.
Exactly.
Except the last interview, I had like 25 to 30 interviewers. Everyone asked me one question on the show.
Doesn't count. What was that show?
It was the ACM Lifting Lives at the Seacrest Studios.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The kids came up.
Isn't that so fun? I did that too. Isn't that the greatest?
That was the perfect thing to do right before this too, because it just kind of it made me happy. It just lifted my spirits and just kind of set me off to have a good day.
Hit me with some Just Friends from Kaylee Hammock, please, Mike. Just Friends. I was talking to the head of our format. His name's Rod Phillips. We're very close.
I love Rod.
He was one of the ones that pushed me here, and then I helped him get... He was working on a national all-format stage, and I helped him become the country guy. So we definitely both put each other in our places here in a good and bad way. Mostly in a great way. He's like the closest to me. And I was like, dude, you got to hear Just Friends. It's not even a single, but you... And so I made him listen to it. You know that awkward thing when you make someone listen to a song in front of you and you have to
And then you just sit there and watch them the whole time?
And I did that to him. I was like, this is what we're looking for. Like somebody... One, the hook, the chorus is super catchy. It's a bit of a risk, which is what it should be. And you're just good. You're just good. And so that's this one. Here's Family Tree again. So I encourage everybody to stream it, download it, whatever you do with your music these days. You just wonder why YouTube, though, can't keep playing whenever you get out of the app.
Oh, it does if you get premium.
Who's going to get premium, though?
I got it.
Well, there she goes, from living in the back of a car to getting premium YouTube.
I've really grown, Bobby.
Wow. Look at you. All right, Kaylee. Listen, on Instagram, is it just it's at Kaylee Hammack, huh?
Yep.
At CayleeHammack. And when I looked a minute ago, because I was just looking at the preview clip of our dance video, it was at 250,000 views.
What?
Yeah, I saw that you'd got like a couple thousand followers. Yeah, we're at 257.
Oh, God. Okay, Bobby, look, I don't have many followers on all my Instagram and all of that. I've just kind of kept my blinders on. I'm like, if I make good music, they will come. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting for me.
So go follow Kaylee to hear this. And
so glad I have friends with a million.
I know,
followers.
I'm so cool now.
A million.
You may have YouTube, super YouTube, but I have a million followers.
You gotta put the pinky up.
All right, follow Kaylee Hammack. Check out her music. I'm so proud of you. Proud for you. I'm a fan. Any impression, like any accent you'd like to leave us with?
May the luck of the Irish be with you.
Thank you very much. All right, there she is. Episode 182.
Kaylee Hammack. Thank you, Bobby.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.